Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God this morning to bless and witness the joining together of man and woman in holy matrimony, namely the joining together of the man, Jesus Christ, with his beloved bride, the Holy Christian Church. Now, I do not need to tell you, beloved, that God's institution of marriage is under attack. Now, it's true that marriage has been attacked in almost every age and in every society, but the modern assault on marriage is different in its scope. It does not simply wish to undermine marriage with infidelity or extra wives, etc. If the hostile forces succeed, the word marriage will have lost all definition whatsoever. Our media promotes gay marriage and open marriages and polyamory and divorce, and I even recently saw an article about sexless platonic marriages, which are apparently all the rage among millennials, like everything seems to be. If the hostile forces succeed, the word marriage and the tax designation might remain, but for all intents and purposes, the institution of marriage will have been abolished in our society, meaning that there would be fewer real marriages. We already see this trend. Fewer husbands and wives raising children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And more broken men and women, fatherless children, and lost and confused people. If the hostile forces succeed, and they have had many successes, the term marriage will mean the exclusive or non-exclusive, probably sexual, partnership between two or more people of the opposite or same sex that is entered into for life or until the parties involved decide to go their separate ways. Namely, the word marriage will have no meaning at all. It will have no definition, and people will suffer for it. Why are the hostile forces so intent on the destruction of marriage? Remember what St. Paul tells us shortly after today's epistle reading. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The enemies of marriage are not politicians. They are not activists. They are not university professors. They are not the Hollywood elites. Those people are confused. They are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd because they have not yet heard the shepherd's voice and believed. The hostile forces are the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil, namely the devil and his demons. The devil hates marriage and wishes to destroy it. He hates it because, as the Apostle Paul says, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. The devil hates marriage because it is an image, an icon of Christ and his holy church. Just as God instituted marriage in the beginning with Adam and Eve, he has instituted marriage anew in the sending of his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross. Just as God opened Adam's side to take his rib, Christ's side was pierced on the cross and opened by a spear. Just as God took Eve out of Adam's side, so the church flowed out of Christ's side, blood for the chalice and water for the font. just as God presented Adam's wife to him, pure and fresh, blood of his blood and flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, so also Christ presents the church to himself, pure and holy, washed with water and the word. As Jesus gives the church the wine now become blood, he too can rejoice, this at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And just as Adam named Eve mother of all the living, so also Christ names his beloved bride, the Christian church, mother of all the living. For just as the love of a husband for his wife brings forth children, the love of Christ for his bride brings forth children from all nations. Through the waters of holy baptism, the forgiveness of sins are poured out, and the heavenly family is expanded. Marriage is not a tradition of men, but an institution of God written into the very fabric of creation itself. Marriage, no matter what we say or do or wish, is defined by God because he made it, as Jesus said to the Jews who questioned him about divorce. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. God's institution of marriage in the beginning is definitive of marriage for all people, for all places, and for all time. Marriage, according to God's definition, is the lifelong, not partnership, but union between one man and one woman, expressed and culminating in the one flesh union that is open to the bringing forth of children. Nothing other than that can be called marriage. Now, from Scripture, we know that marriage, as God has defined it, is the bedrock institution of human society. Human society is not a collection of individuals, but a collection of families. History testifies to the scriptural truth. The fall of the Roman Empire was precipitated by a dramatic decline in the number of marriages and the resulting falling birth rate. We in the United States should take heed as U.S. marriage and birth rates hit record lows. So also study after study has confirmed what we already know from Scripture, that the breakdown of marriage is wreaking chaos and havoc in our country. We can just highlight one issue, the issue of fatherlessness. Children without fathers in the home account for 63% of youth suicides, 70% of children in juvenile detention, 71% of high school dropouts, 75% of those with substance abuse problems, 75% of rapists, 85% of children diagnosed with behavioral disorders, and 90% of homeless and runaway youths. Fatherlessness, not race, not economic background, not education, is the number one predictor of whether a child will be incarcerated, live in lifelong poverty, or suffer from abuse. There is no institution on earth more important, with more and greater temporal effect on human happiness and prosperity than marriage. We know this. Yet today, marriage is under attack. Why? Why is marriage under attack? Well, the devil tried to attack Christ. He tried to defeat him on the cross, but Christ is risen, victorious, never to die again. So the devil must content himself by attacking us. And what better way to attack us than by attacking marriage? First, the devil gets to revel in all the human pain and suffering that results from the breakdown of marriage. But second, and most importantly, he thinks that by destroying marriage, he can destroy the image of Christ and the church. Resist the devil, beloved. Hold marriage sacred among you. How? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Husbands, you are an icon of Christ to your wife. You are called to love your wives as Christ loved the church. You are called to true love, to self-sacrificial love that holds the good of your wife above your own good. Christ's love for the church led him to the cross and to his death. And so your sacrifice, you are called to make the same sacrifice for your wife if the situation arises. Is it any wonder that our society that has forgotten what marriage is now debating drafting women into the military? Instead of men being sent to the front line to die on the front for their wives and daughters, we talk about drafting our women to die on behalf of men. The corruption of marriage bears many wicked fruits. Husbands, the Lord has set you at the head and made you Christ's representative to your family. Christ gave himself up for the church so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Your primary calling is to bring the word of God to your wife and to your family, to proclaim to them the forgiveness of sins, and to bring them here to Zion to receive the Lord's gifts. Hold up the word of God before your wife and family in daily devotions. We wring our hands and worry about our children growing up in the faith. Proverbs gives this wisdom for life in a fallen world. Train up a child in the way he will go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Husbands, this burden falls heavily on you. A Swiss study has shown that children that grew up with fathers who regularly attended church were 78% more likely to be faithful attenders of church as an adult. And a Pew Research study found that 93% of children that grew up with daily Bible study in the house continued in the faith until adulthood and beyond to raise their own children in the faith. There's a reason, as we see the decline of Christianity in America, that 30% that is self-described as, or Pew defines as strong Christians or devoted, I think that's the word they use, devoted, that number has not been decreasing. It's all the people in the middle that have been leaving the church. Wives, you also resist the devil. Keep marriage sacred among you. How? Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Now, as this church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. God has given husbands the leading role, the head role in marriage. But this is not a capricious headship. With his own example, Christ has described what it means for a Christian to be an authority. You know that those regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their superiors exercise authority over them. But it shall not be this way among you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Unlike the Taliban, the Christian man does not lord his position over his wife, but uses his position of authority to serve, protect, and care for his wife and family. Wives, you are to submit to your husband as the church submits to Christ. This means to receive from your husband his sacrifices with thanksgiving. Receive the forgiveness of sins that he proclaims to you, and hear the word of God that he proclaims to you, and respect him as your head. This is just as the church gathers here every Sunday to receive Christ's gifts, to receive his sacrifice with thankfulness, and to respect him as our head. Husbands and wives, forgive one another. And when you sin against each other, forgive. Keep marriage sacred among you. By honoring marriage, you spit in the devil's eye and hold up a beacon of Christ and his church to the world. For 175 years, Zion has been a city on the hill from which the light of God's word has shone. Let us pray and let it be that Zion, for 175 more years, and even beyond until the return of Christ the bridegroom, be a light on the hill from which God's institution of marriage might shine. And if you have sinned against marriage in any way, repent and remember that you, baptized Christian, are Christ's beloved bride. He loved you and gave himself up for you, that he might sanctify you, having cleansed you by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present you to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that you might be holy and without blemish. If Christ has washed you with water and his word, you are certainly holy. You are cleansed from your sin. You are without spot, you are without wrinkle, you are without blemish. Before him, you are holy and full of splendor. And remember that Christ loves you with the enduring love of a man for his bride. Amen.